This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hi, glad you could join us. It is hour number two as we continue along on Twitter at Tony D Radio. Coming up, we got Chris Blystone coming up. He's from StampedeBlue.com. Covers the Indianapolis Colts on the Carson Wentz injury and where the Colts go from here. You know, kind of one of the bigger injuries of the training camp. You know, a minor one, and we talked to this, touched this on yesterday. Dak Prescott is a throwing shoulder issue, just a strain. But he's kind of staying away from throwing. Says, oh, no, it will not affect me during the regular season. Oh, no, I'll be ready to go. But a little bit before the injury, he had talked to Dak, you know, talking about wanting to play in the preseason because he's coming off the ankle injury. Dallas has four preseason games, so he could find some time to get out there and play a few, get a few reps, maybe play a series or two in the four games and just to get. But if you're Mike McCarthy, yeah, I don't think you even consider that. You just go, no, Dak, we trust you. How about this? When you were at Mississippi State, did you have any preseason games before you started the season? No. Even if you played some cupcakes? No. We got 17 games on the schedule. We're good. You'll be fine. But the Carson Wentz injury is something that if you're just joining us, 5 to 12 weeks he could be out. That's a huge range. But nevertheless, it could be nothing. He could just miss the entire month of August into the early part of September and be ready on opening day or week two. Or he could be done until the end of October when they have the Halloween game against the Tennessee Titans. But there is no legitimate backup. So this has drawn some speculation that Nick Foles could come aboard. Gardner Minshew is being talked about as a possibility because that's what they did. They left the cupboard bare, which is now a mistake. And the Colts should pay the price for this. They have to go out there and get a guy that could take over the reins of this quarterback position because he didn't think when they got Carson Wentz that being injury prone would be a, I don't know, particular problem. But now it is, as he has suffered a foot injury, an old injury that just resurfaced, an old injury that got re-aggravated that required surgery on yesterday. But coming up, the latest trends in college athletics. Quinn Ewers, a quarterback out of Texas, is skipping his senior season to be joined and be enroll at Ohio State, jumping right into college football. With the new name, image, and likeness world we're living in, are we ready for this? That coming up next on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Again, hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's if you'd like to participate in the program. All right, so Quinn Ewers, a quarterback out of Carroll Lake near Dallas, is skipping his senior season to become a enrolled student at Ohio State, where he is going to be part of the Buckeyes football team. So this is something that I felt like was going to come with the name, image, and likeness situation. The money is, it's not just, you know, when we talk about giving out money, you know, back in the day when we would talk about players getting money, right? We knew that if you divided up all of the money to all of the athletes across the board, I mean, everybody that plays anything, golfers, swimmers, gymnasts, runners, anything, right? Then, you know, we're talking what? A couple $1,000 a player, right? Even though with all the money that was pouring in, you divided it equally amongst everybody. So there is really no, you know, why would I jump into the big time world of college athletics to make a couple $1,000 a month if that was true, right? If that had come through fruition. But with this was different. With the landing spot of these athletes being big time programs where there's big time dollar opportunities, you are going to start seeing more and more athletes do this. High school athletes do this. Now, is it going to be a huge trend? I don't think it's going to be a gigantic trend because I think it takes, you know, there's special academics and all that have to come into play here. But The reality is that players who can get early enrollment into college are going to do that. If there's an opportunity to land six-figure, seven-figure endorsement deals, that is more money than they will ever see, right? In high school, per se, right? And that's what I think is happening here. My big question is, in Quinn Ewers deciding to not go to his senior year of college, is as a sports society, are we ready for this? Are we okay with this? That a student is young student who should be in his senior year, enjoying his senior year, deciding to jump right into the business world of college athletics, a new world of college athletics, where it's practically a professional job now. It may not be professional in that the people you are working for, meaning the school, are paying you a salary, but there are people who are going to expect things of you by offering you the kind of endorsement deals you're going to be collecting on once you arrive there. And I think you're going to see more and more athletes that can do this. Because of what could be coming their way. And this is just the first year of this. When people get used to this and people get used to how the game is played and getting an early jump on recruits in particular areas, man, this is one thing we talk about all the time with this. The money is just going to go up and up and up. There's going to be a bidding war. If you have a big business in that particular college town, you cannot lose out on a kid, a five-star recruit, that is going to be under center for the Buckeyes. You have to land that kid. Like, we talk about car dealerships, right? You don't want to be the car dealership that doesn't land Quinn Ewers if you're in Columbus. You don't want to be any business that has an opportunity to get him. You need to up. It's just a competitive market. It's going to drive the cost of landing these particular players up and up and up. And here's the thing. Whatever bar he sets or his representative sets will probably be met, especially if he's that good. You know, we kind of talk about name, image, and likeness, what it would have been for Tim Tebow, what it would have been for Matt Leinart, what it would have been for Reggie Bush, what it would have been for Joe Burrow, like what it would have been for athletes that just had phenomenal college football seasons, like historic college football seasons, winning championships, coming back for another one. Peyton Manning at Tennessee never won a title, but definitely was the biggest name in college football. Right? Danny Werfel did win a championship at Florida, right? I mean, think about what it would have been for those athletes, especially basketball players that won national championships and came back to the school. So now you've got five-star recruits that are going to see tremendous financial opportunities by landing onto these college teams and getting there right away, giving up a time of their life they should be enjoying. Right? I mean, senior year, I don't know about you, but my senior year was pretty much spent in a blur. I just had a good time. It was just taking some classes and getting ready to go to college and, you know, keeping the grades up a little bit, but, you know, disappearing at study hall to go run down to get some food at the local store. I mean, it was kind of what you did, right? You got to leave school early if you set your study hall at the end of the day. I mean, it was all sorts of fun ways to spend your senior year. And now he's spending his quote-unquote senior year making seven figures in endorsements, going to be the quarterback at Ohio State. But there's a lot of pressure there, right? I mean, and as a sports society, remember this. Before you say, oh, yeah, we'll be fine with it, remember, how long did it take before people calmed down about one and done in college basketball? We're still having people not liking that. What do you think I'm going to do here? I mean, now it's, you know, leaving high school to go jump into college. Forget going to the pros. And you don't even have to go to the pros now. You can stick around the old state university and make a bunch of money. But one and done, I mean, I used to have to argue people about one and done in college basketball. I used to argue people all the time about it. And not in favor of it, but I would say, what are you going to do about it? What can you do about it? I'd hear people call my show or talk to me in person, like, well, we got to do something about these kids leaving college early. I'm like, well, what's your solution? They should be forced to sign a contract. No, you can't do that. There's no contract. What are you talking about? Contract. You can't sign a contract. A player doesn't have to go to college. A student athlete doesn't have to attend a university. Well, if they should be forced to commit. What are you talking about? There's no, you can't force them to do anything. And then they would say things like, that student doesn't understand the value of an education. Well, when they wake up and need an education, they certainly will have the money to go back to college. Many won't. And I would pause and I would say, do you, just be honest with me, do you really care about the education of this athlete, or are you mad he's leaving your school early? Like, are you really upset he's not getting a degree, like whatever it is? Like, are you upset that he's going to go to the NFL, or not the NFL, NBA, and he doesn't have a degree in something? Or are you mad that you had a chance to win another national championship and he's leaving? Or you didn't win the national championship and you came close and he's leaving? Because that's really where it is. We still have people that find the one-and-done aspect of college basketball disturbing. What are they going to do with this information? But this is the new world, right? I mean, this is where we're heading. It's to me, it's a little fascinating. Because there's going to be an element to the college life for these guys that is you don't even want to use the word exponential, because it's not apples and oranges. It's apples and a BMW. Like, these kids are going to be able to buy huge houses near the campus, right? They're going to be able to go anywhere they want, like fly anywhere, private jets. They'll be able to tap into the kind of resources that an 18-year-old kid just doesn't have access to, that no college athlete had access to legally, right? If a client wants to lend a student athlete, a quarterback, his private jet to take his girlfriend to Paris, that's allowed. Like, that will be allowed. Whereas before, it would be massively illegal and involve seven officers in that town asking everybody questions. But now it's a whole nother world, and that's attractive. And you're an 18-year-old kid, 17-year-old kid, it's attractive. All I have to do is get accepted early, and all I do is just show up. And they come to me. I don't have to sell myself. I don't have to put a PowerPoint presentation together. They'll just come at my door with suitcases full of cash, like just enormous amounts of offers. Why I'm going there, whether my family needs money or my family doesn't need money, I just may want to do it on my own. That's the new world. Quinn Ewers is just the tip of an iceberg. Again, I don't think it's a massive trend, because I don't think every athlete can do this, but I think if you can, a few will, enough will to make you, just like, no, not everybody's one and done, right? Not everybody's one. College basketball isn't loaded with one and done players. It's just the key ones are one and done. The key ones that you know about are one and done. It's the same thing here. The five-star recruits, the ones that are just celebratory landing, you know, when they're putting on your hat, you go crazy. They're in for a world of financial gain. It just makes this so attractive. We'll talk a little bit more about this coming up, and then we'll get into the Colts and Carson Wentz situation as we talk to Chris Blystone from StampedeBlue.com on what Indianapolis will do next as we continue on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
O'Reilly Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much life is left in your battery? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Their professional parts people will test your battery for free. If it does need to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right one to fit your car. Superstar batteries are built to handle even the toughest conditions. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts store today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I just think this story of Quinn Ewers is fascinating. By the way, am I getting his name right? You're a Texas guy. Am I pronouncing his last name right? Ewers?
I think so. I always just read it as Evers because Evers. I never had to say it out loud.
Okay.
But then it is a W instead of a V.
E-W-E-R-S.
Yes, Quinn Ewers.
Ears. Well, we'll get to know his name really soon because he'll be the big superstar at Ohio State very quickly. He nearly got a perfect recruiting rating, whatever that means, in terms of the people who judge this thing. Many years ago, years and years ago, I got a job offer in Charleston, South Carolina, and I left Denver to Charleston. I was kind of in flux on radio gigs, and the job was pretty good. It paid pretty well for the time, and I was like, all right, I'm going to go. I wanted to cover South Carolina. It was pretty cool. I love Charleston. It's a beautiful city. But you know, one of the reasons I was glad it didn't work out and I went back to Colorado was I just don't like recruiting. I just that's not my thing. It is not my thing of interest. I think it's kind of icky a little bit to me at the way we kind of the media kind of fawns over these decisions of 17 and 18 year olds. I never liked the celebratory, all right, which hat am I picking up? Woo! Like, oh, I'm gonna fake you out. I'm going. No, I'm not. I'm going. I never liked that. I think it's a little weird and sort of the celebratory atmosphere about. Like, if I was in school, I went to a small school. If they had an assembly to announce some kid picking a hat to go to college, I think most of my friends would have skipped it. Like, they would have gone, like, found a way to sneak out of the school and go to McDonald's or something. I mean, I didn't grow up in an area where that was a big deal. And I know there are plenty of areas where that is a big deal. And in where that particular part of the country was, it was a big deal. It just wasn't my big deal. So it wasn't going to match for me. And I said, look, if that's what you like, that's what you like. That's cool. It just wasn't my thing. But here's the thing. When it comes to recruiting, I know it's extremely important, right? It's a very important factor of college football. And so the people that grade these athletes who say he's a five-star, he's a three-star, he's a two-star, these are very important. And you can't win in college without recruits. You cannot win the national championship unless you are filled with five-star level players. So on the one hand, it's not really my thing. But on the other hand, I know how extremely important it is. It's very important. And now with name, image, and likeness, it's going to take on a different dynamic, right? It's not just going to be about five-star and what school is best fitted for him. It's going to be five-star and what school is going to be best fitted for him on the field and off the field. Where can he go where he can maximize his talent to be an NFL level player or an NBA level player? And where can he go where his dollars are going to be utilized in the right way? Right. And I think we're going to be into a whole new world of where this leads to. I mean, it's one thing. It used to be if you were a quarterback, let's say, right, and you were being heavily recruited by like Mark Richt or back in the day or Nick Saban or Steve Spurrier or whoever, and you were like, these guys really can groom me to the next level. I really want to play for these guys. And then you got to campus and you're like, wow, there's seven other guys that are vying. Wow, I should have read this better, right? Now it could be, and I kid you not, I'm not exaggerating here. It could be, well, there's only so much marketing dollars in these areas. Are they all being utilized? Is there an opening for a guy like me to make the kind of money I want to make? Right? In small college towns and, you know, whatever. I mean, who knows how this is going to play out, right? Again, I think we're heading into a different world, and some of us adapt can adapt quickly, and some of us can't. Some of us can't. We're not going to like this change, because it's not just these athletes making money. That's not it, right? It's the start of something larger. And Pete Futek talked about this last week. If you're going to pay these kids, from an endorsement standpoint, not pay them directly from the university, and never forget that, they are not getting a cut of the pie. Nobody is getting a cut of the pie that the NCAA is going to get, these schools are going to get for their participation in these things. Okay? But if they're going to be being paid by commercial entities for name, image, and likeness, there's a level of responsibility that goes to that, that they have to be accountable for, right? There, it's not just free money, right? It's not free. They're not going to give this to the athletes because they like them. They expect something in return. They're going to expect that you're going to start, that you're going to keep that starting job, right? That you're going to perform on a certain level, that you're not going to get kicked off the team. And Michael makes a good point on Twitter. When these kids realize their image in their in that particular area, when they're dealing with six-figure, seven-figure endorsement packages, right? You cannot, you better not be caught hitting a woman. You better not be caught making, Michael's point, making a homophobic remark, getting into a fight. Whatever may derail you in your pursuit of being a star athlete on the field, it has more bigger ramifications, right, than just losing your starting job. It's not, if you do something off campus where you get arrested for something, it's not just going to affect your status on the team. It's going to it's going to come down to your bottom line, right? And think about some of the contracts these kids are going to be careful signing, right? Like, it's one thing to be like, if you show up between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. and sign autographs, we'll give you $20,000. So you show up between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. and then you get $20,000. There might be endorsement deals where they give you money, some money up front, and then you have to pay it back if you don't fulfill an obligation. And all of a sudden, these kids spend the money and they buy this and they buy a car. And next thing you know, they're being hit with a lawsuit because they didn't start and they got in trouble and they got arrested and it broke the contract. And now they want that money back. Like, there's all sorts of ramifications here that they're going to need representation on. And when you have a representation and you have money involved in this, it's a whole different ballgame. And some of us are not going to be ready for some of the stories that are going to come down because of this. And when you add this story of Quinn Ewers, the high school kid going to Ohio State early, skipping his senior season, you wonder if all hell is going to break loose with this. How many kids are going to do it? What schools are going to be more encouraging to athletes leaving school early? I mean, look, don't you think for 2 seconds that there's going to be some recruiter, assistant coach, or whoever, you know, putting into the kid's ear, you know, you could be here sooner. And we've got, we're not allowed to tell you this, but we got a whole bunch of people ready to just kind of talk to you, if you know what I mean. Right? There's it's a wild, wild west feeling that may not be as out of control as I may be mentioning it, but it's not going to be orderly. All right? Like, it's going to be somewhere in the middle. But again, this story, and the reason I bring it up is because, again, whenever there's change like this, I mean, look, and it doesn't matter what it is, whether it is the transfer portal and players getting more power over their, where their destination is, having more a sense of, look, I'm transferring now without penalty, right? All of those kind of things, the power that the kids now have that coaches complain about. When we talked about Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski leaving, and Mike Krzyzewski is going to retire at the end of this season, the season coming up, but Roy Williams is done. And we said, you know, there might have been an element of the changing landscape of college athletics that led these guys to change, you know, to say, maybe I don't want to fight this anymore. Maybe I don't want to deal with spending so much effort and time recruiting a kid to have him come here and be unhappy because I pulled him out of a game with 10 minutes left and sat him for the rest of the game because I didn't like the way he was shooting. And his first reaction was to call somebody to say, get me out of here. I don't like this coach. Right? Because they're not mature enough to sort of understand that no matter where you're at, no matter who you're working for, sometimes there's an ebb and flow to your work environment. Sometimes you have really good days with your boss. Some days you struggle. Some days you have really good days with your coworkers, and some days you just want out of there and quit. And there is a time to leave a place, and there's time to stay at a place. And sometimes at 18, you're not really sure what the right decision is. And in this situation, you could be sort of caught into the world of this money and needing this money and living a lifestyle that all of a sudden the pressure is coming at you to keep up what you arrived on that campus to do in the first place. Because there's more ramifications for not starting, more than just hurt pride. Now it's a hurt pocketbook. And now it's a hurt wallet. I don't know if that's going to go over so well. We'll talk Colts coming up next as we continue with Wake Up.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we've been following this Carson Wentz story out of Indianapolis. Again, the foot injury could be out 5 to 12 weeks. Let's go to Progressive Guest Line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Chris Blystone joining us from StampedeBlue.com covers the Colts. And boy, this has really got some legs. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Let's take us back to the injury. When did they know something was wrong? When did he know something was wrong?
Well, the way they described it, they've acted as though this is something that's been aggravated. It's a past injury. I believe they referenced that it may have been even back to high school. And so it's really confusing. I don't think they would have traded for this guy if they knew he was consistently hurt or had an injury that had a possibility of being aggravated. But, I mean, it definitely seems like they knew early in camp. And the way that Frank Reich said it, they knew almost right away. I mean, even though they presented to the media that it was potentially we're going to wait and see and rest it, they said they knew almost right away this was going to be a surgery option. And I think that's an interesting thing considering how they addressed the backup quarterback position this offseason. I don't think they could have known as early as when they first brought him in. But yeah, they're kind of in a pickle now. They've got not really a great backup quarterback situation.
Yeah, and let's get to that because, again, this is a guy that is hurt a lot, but nevertheless was coming in trying to get a rejuvenated career. But, again, hindsight's 20/20, but should the Colts have been a little bit more cautious with this guy and have somebody backing up rather than two guys that have never thrown an NFL pass in a game?
It's really weird, actually, because Jim Irsay very kind of famously said after the whole Peyton Manning release and all of that, he kind of declaratively said, we're not going to get in this situation again. We're going to have a good backup quarterback. And if you look at the guys who were brought in to back up Andrew Luck, you had Matt Hasselbeck, you had Jacoby Brissett brought in, and they've carried a really good backup really since that time. And then the year that they don't do that, they have an injury-prone quarterback they bring in, and they have no backup quarterback with any NFL experience. They brought in Brett Hundley, and that's not exactly making anybody really excited. But it's really an interesting situation they found themselves in, kind of antithetical to how they've addressed the position in the last few years.
There's a lot of talk about Nick Foles. Is that media-generated? Is there really interest in the organization about reaching out to the Bears for his services?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, Frank Reich has obviously shown a tendency toward wanting to work with guys he's worked with. Obviously, he brought in Philip Rivers last year. Had really good rapport with him, and then they went after Carson Wentz. So I think it's a natural thing to arrive at that conclusion that they might want to do that. I don't think they're investing more draft capital in a quarterback. If they have to trade for him, maybe given the contract, if the Bears wanted to send a pick and offload that contract just to be rid of it, maybe that's in the discussions. But also you have to factor in the blow to Carson Wentz's ego to be replaced by the guy that replaced him before. I don't know how he'd feel about that, and I know that they're trying to be very sensitive about how they address all of that. So I think it's a natural connection to make, but to me it's more media-driven, even though it is a logical one.
This injury could keep him out 5 to 12 weeks, and I know that's a pretty big gap because it could mean season, week one or Halloween, but this schedule is so daunting. Was there a feeling like, well, we don't want to lose the potential for the division in the first 5 weeks of the year?
Yeah, it's especially problematic because Jacob Eason is a guy who's struggled with pressure, and they have the Seahawks, the Rams, the Ravens early, who all excel in bringing pressure on the quarterback, and so it's a very real possibility that they're going to struggle at the quarterback position if he's the guy. And so those are probably going to weigh really carefully. I don't think you can rush somebody back and have them risk, especially an injury-prone guy, risk them aggravating something or extending the time they're out. But they walked this really weird line, and I don't think this is something Frank Reich can think about, but the Colts obviously would be better off if Carson Wentz plays 70% or, 69% or fewer snaps so that they are not giving away a first-round pick to the Eagles. But I know they can't weigh that. That's not going to be on their consideration. They want to win games. So they're in this weird spot where this may actually be somewhat beneficial to them if they can just tread water through those first few weeks. But they're tough weeks, and they're some of the toughest opponents. They really would have liked for this to have happened almost any other stretch of their season.
Well, preseason expectations are always iffy, you know, because we don't know how it's going to play out. But this was an 11-5 team last year, and you know, Phillip Rivers wasn't, you know, was not out of this world awesome, and yet they were right there in the division. What was the feeling that if Carson Wentz played decently, the kind of Carson Wentz play that we had seen from him at various times in Philadelphia, what was the potential for this team going into 2021?
I think it depends on what your viewpoint of Carson Wentz and his capabilities was. If he played like he's played before, well, all bets are off because he's played as one of the worst quarterbacks in the league and one of the best quarterbacks.
Sure.
In the league. If you get the top end of Carson Wentz, I think this Colts team was absolutely a contender because one of the things they were missing was a real deep threat, and that's something he brings to the game when he's on. Their defense has really the potential to be, I think, a top five defense. They have a potential to be worse than that as well, but if they have some younger guys step up, they've got that potential. And they have a couple of the best running backs in the NFL as far as the 1-2 punch tandem, Jonathan Taylor coming on looking like the best running back in football at the end of last season. The weapons are there. The offensive line is going to be interesting because they lost starting left tackle, and that's not an easy position to replace, and obviously a pretty influential one. So I think, in my mind, if Carson Wentz played at the top of his game, they're definitely a contender. Now, without him and with Jacob Eason starting, I mean, I think they're probably going to be lucky to contend for a wild card. If he's able to come back pretty quickly and they're able to kind of hang on and tread water over those first few weeks, then maybe they still have that shot. It's definitely going to depend a lot upon him. And with that, with him missing all of training camp, man, this is a guy who really needed time to build rapport with his receivers. He had an awful year last year. He needed all of the confidence boosting he could get. Surgery and rehab was just not really what the doctor ordered for this guy. You really needed him to be with the team.
Wasn't there a feeling with this trade? Like, look, I mean, again, Carson Wentz was going to come in, as you said, he had such, there's two extremes to him, but the relationship with Frank Reich, a better defense, weapons, an offensive line, all the kind of elements, this seemed to have all the positivity of a rejuvenation. Is that how it was feeling in Indianapolis?
That's how a lot of people felt. I've been a little bit more hesitant because I tend to think, you throw out some of the outlying seasons, and I'd say probably last season, I mean, the Eagles were not a good team, so throwing out last season is fair, but also, then I think it's also fair to say, if we're going to throw out the worst season, let's throw out the best season and look at what Carson has mostly been. And I think he's mostly been kind of a middle-of-the-road quarterback with some really boom and bust possibilities, and even from game to game. And Frank Reich certainly has the ability, seem to have good rapport with him, seem to be able to bring out the best in him, and he's able to do that with a lot of quarterbacks, able to really maximize their potential. But there's only so much a coach can do. And, you know, players win games, ultimately. And so I think, yeah, to me, I was cautiously optimistic, but I was still thinking what the Colts needed was a little bit more talented player and somebody who could be consistent. And Carson Wentz hasn't exactly proven he can be consistent. Until he can do that, I don't know how much you can do beyond, you know, just kind of putting all your faith on Frank Reich and hoping for the best, which I think a lot of Colts fans are ready to do. I'm just not sure that that's always the wisest choice.
Now, again, foot injuries are iffy. He could recover from this. It could come back. I mean, who knows with foot injuries. They're so, but how committed are they? I mean, they gave up some valuable picks for him. There's money, obviously, on the table. Like, does Carson have some time to sort of overcome this, and even if it plagues him down the road, or are the Colts really needing to see in the next 2 years how this is going to play out?
I definitely think over the next 2 years they're going to make some significant decisions. One of the things Chris Ballard has always been pretty good about as a general manager is that he doesn't sit on bad decisions. I mean, if he makes a bad choice and it doesn't pan out, he is not afraid to cut bait. Some GMs want to hang on. Ryan Grigson before him did that consistently where he really wanted to he just believed in his pick so much that he expected they were going to pan out whatever decision he made, and he'd hang on to it longer than he should have and actually cause damage to the team that way. Chris Ballard will cut bait and go if it's not working out for him. He's not afraid of that. He's got support from the management, from the owners. And I think if it's not working out, I think they're going to be ready to move on. It'll be a unique situation with injury, but also that's been a story for this guy. He's only, you know, started 16 games in two of his five seasons. And the Colts, without a really good backup situation, I don't know that they can afford to deal with something like that. They may keep him around, but I would not be surprised at all if he struggles to get back, if he is dealing with missing time after the, because he could get injured again. I mean, he has dealt with this before. There's no guarantee that he comes back and is healthy throughout the rest of the season. Wouldn't surprise me at all if we see the Colts looking for a quarterback next year in some kind of way. I wouldn't expect that Chris Ballard will hold on to the Carson Wentz pick any longer than he thinks is prudent.
And that's a great point. If you are whatever fan of a team you may be, like your GM to not have ego get in the way. There's been a lot of decisions that just hung around a little too long because ego got in the way of a guy going, I'm not going down with this ship. I'm going to try to make sure this works out.
Yeah.
Chris, great stuff. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You got it. Chris Blystone, StampedeBlue.com on our progressive guest line. It's to me, the Carson Wentz story is about him being injured all the time. And I think the fact of the matter is the Colts should have been a little bit more prepared for this and should have been more aware that this could happen. Now, again, you can't anticipate when, what would get hurt. But for a guy that's only played two full seasons in the NFL, and it really just comes in with, you know, you could point to the fact that he gets sacked a lot. You could point to the fact of circumstances as to why he's hurt. But, man, just to leave that cupboard that bare to be in a position where you have two guys that are just not really ready to get into the NFL, to play in the NFL yet, and to put your first half of the season with a loaded schedule in their hands. One, I would be surprised if they went with those two guys. I think they will go with the veteran. But I think the whole Carson Wentz and Nick Foles and the, you know, hey, this here's once again, this guy is replacing me. Once again, he's taking over my job. You don't necessarily want to make a decision that's entirely based on your quarterback's mental state about a certain replacement. But at the same time, you owe it to the other guys on the roster to put the best winning team you can. All right. On Twitter at Tony D Radio, as we continue along with Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks to Chris Blystone joining us, talking Indianapolis Colts. This hour of Wake Up Call is presented by Rocket Mortgage. You need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. Oh my God, I saw a story yesterday about more SEC expansion, and I think some of it is some of these people that work at these schools or used to work at these schools are now just willing to talk about, like, oh, I used to work at Clemson, or I used to work at Florida State. And I'll tell you what, as much as we love being a part of the, I think there's a little bit more openness of, like, former athletic directors or former somebody within the athletic office. And I start going, oh, is this just going to be the thing we do over and over again? Like, there's a school, and it doesn't really like where it is. And all of a sudden, the SEC is now 42 teams. Right? 42 schools. Just, I love the way they say, look, that everybody's saying it's a changing world. No, it's not. It's a changing world for some. It was always the option for you to change conferences. It's a changing world in terms of name, image, and likeness. Sure. It's a changing world from the playoff. Sure. But these conferences, you always had the ability to figure out a way to get out. Right? So stop with this excuse of, like, well, times are changing. Nah, you just saw the times are changing in terms of revenue. That's where it is. Not times are changing to move conferences. You could do that without name, image, and likeness. You could do it without a college football playoff. Whatever the reason. The reason is that the money now is crazy. It's not just the overall sense that it's a different world. You just saw the more money and then went, that's what we're doing. And that's okay. That's fine. It's a business. We all get it. There's no reason to stick with tradition if tradition's costing you money. But don't give me this idea of, like, we're excusing it because it's a different world. Right? Nebraska left years ago, right? Colorado used to be in the Big Eight, right? Yeah, I mean, TCU used to be in the Mountain West, for crying out loud. So don't give me the times are changing for a move to conference. Remember when Missouri and Texas A&M went to the SEC, right? West Virginia went to the Big 12, right? Syracuse went to the ACC, right? Why? Why did all of those schools change conferences? Finances, financial reasons, right? Texas and Oklahoma is going to the SEC for financial reasons. It's not because 2021 and 2022 and when they go in 2025, it's just a different atmosphere, man. It's just a different world we're living in now. Now, the same world, same kind of world for at least you guys, just more money. That's what it is. It's more money. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. Just tell us the truth, right? I've been saying this for a while about money. It's like money was always there, right? Money's always at the core of decisions. At what point do you say no? What point do you say enough? Like we are affecting the game or affecting the sport in such a way that it's detrimental to the overall sport if we keep doing this in chasing dollars. I mean, not everybody can join the SEC, or can they? What if the SEC had everybody? They could change their name from like the Southeastern Conference to something else, the Global College Football League. But that's a truth. I mean, look, we always talked about the Rose Bowl, right? The tradition of the Rose Bowl. But eventually money got to that too. There aren't any real traditions that can't be affected by finances. I mean, you think that there'd be certain rivalries that wouldn't be affected, but you can't guarantee it, right? There's just a way, if you can make even more money by pairing up, changing this, changing that, just there's a teams and conferences have always found a way to do that. All right, it's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Thanks for joining us. Hit us up on Twitter @TonyDRadio @RonCulver. That's Ron with two N's. Let's continue Wake Up Call.